Welcome, rock stars, from Rockland USA Studios in Washington, D.C. This is Rock on the Money. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to give you ideas, answer your questions, keep you updated on your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, our in-house lawyer and real estate agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call or text your questions or comments 24 hours a day to 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Rock on the Money, or our website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
I'm well. How are you, Craig?
I'm sheltered in place. My travel is over.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Hey, can we talk for a second about Murphy's Law?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, but it seems like ever since this whole quarantine, shelter in place, safer at home thing started, it's like everything's falling apart.
What do you mean?
Not just for me, but for people I know as well. Like, I've seen my friend's Facebook posts as well. My sister-in-law, like, had her TV stop working, and then the microwave went out. And like around here, we had our dishwasher stop working last week. So we had to order a new dishwasher to get installed. Ugh. And then I went to take Roscoe out on Saturday morning, and I had like a geyser in my yard because the underground pipes decided to disconnect. And
what the heck? What's going on? Water.
I don't know, but it's like everything is happening all at once. Have you had anything like that?
No, none at all. Everything seems to be...
Well, I just jinxed you, so...
I mean, my dishwasher breaks every like 6 months, but I fix it myself.
Oh, maybe that's why it breaks.
Thanks to YouTube. I even made a YouTube video for people to see how I fix my dishwasher. And people want to argue with me. I'm like... Come on, people. I'm trying to help you.
Well, we fixed this one a couple times already, and now it's just like it's time. But
is it Samsung?
It is a Samsung.
Okay. All my stupid appliances, they look awesome, by the way. Yeah. They're like that front stainless steel, all that. Yeah, terrible. I will never buy.
No.
Was that a great guess or what?
It was a great guess. But so obviously we're not replacing it with a Samsung.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought, maybe I was hoping I wasn't the only one suffering, but
nope. You're in the club of Samsung unhappy owners. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, usually Murphy only comes around like if my husband's deployed or overseas. That's usually when everything falls apart. But
well, he gets to enjoy it with you. That's so cute.
Isn't it? At least he's around for this. I guess I should count my blessings, but he's kind of driving me bonkers anyway. He has nothing to do. I'm still working all the time. I'm using air quotes. He's teleworking, but he has like nothing to do.
So. How many families out there are like going at it already? We still got another 2 months to go.
Yeah. No, I just shut my office door. Okay. Stay in my cave.
Well, that means we can do more podcasts then.
It does. Yeah. Okay. He needs a project is all I'm saying.
What's coming up on this episode?
We've got some social media questions. Then we're going to talk about 10 major money don'ts from Dave Ramsey.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I wonder if I'll agree with these. I've never read it.
Then our savvy savings segment today is on retooling your budget during this COVID-19 situation.
All right. Social media question one. When contacting Toyota about deferring payments, how do I ensure that I don't get late fees, interest fees, or harm to my credit score? Also, do I ask for payments not to be due till a specific date?
Oh, good question.
Isn't this going to be a depends? It probably depends on the creditor.
I think it is. I honestly haven't looked into this much because I don't have any car payments, so it doesn't specifically relate to me.
Yeah, same here. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I haven't really dug into the details on this, but I think like any type of credit situation you run into, contact them and ask them what your options are.
Yeah, I think they're going to be open and honest about that. But if you can get in writing, I would get in writing and an email or something like that. Yep.
Yeah. And then you have a really great checklist here that you've created. So make sure you ask them about, are there going to be late fees? Mm-hmm. How does this impact my interest? And what will be reported to the credit bureaus in terms of my credit that would impact my credit score?
And as a general comment, not to this person here, but all of you out there, if you don't need to do this,
please don't do it. Just live your normal life. A lot of people still have a job. You have income. You were not affected by this other than you and your wife or whatever's going at in the house. That's the only thing happening to you. Please just continue your life and make your payments. Don't take advantage of these programs just because it's there and you want more money. That's not, unless you're going to pay off debt. I guess I got to think that one through. Let's get on to question number two.
Well, but this is a debt, so keep paying on it.
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to be paying off your debts anyway. Good point, keep man. That's why I keep you around. Mm-hmm. You got to keep me straight. Hey, here's number two. My company will be stopping the match on my 401k.
Seen this a lot lately.
Yeah, this question keeps popping up. But if it keeps popping up, I'm going to keep putting it in the show. Currently put enough to get the match and maximize my contributions to a Roth. Hey, congrats on the Roth, by the way. Thank you.
Nice job. Yeah.
Thank you. Considering stopping contributions to a 401k and opening a spousal Roth IRA, what are your thoughts?
That doesn't quite make sense to me. Mm.
Yeah.
All you're doing is shifting the money around.
Right.
So I guess my question would be, well, one, don't stop contributing to your 401k. As we talked about in the last couple of episodes, now's the time to continue those contributions and even increase them if you can afford it, because you're buying everything on a discount. Mm-hmm. The spousal Roth IRA is the one that's throwing me for a bit of a loop, because you're saying opening a spousal Roth. So obviously your spouse must be stay at home or doesn't have another way to contribute to a retirement fund. I'm struggling here because the answer really is going to depend on the specific situation.
Yeah, I think we should just stick with the answer of just sticking with your 401k right now and don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess my question back is, would you, if everything were still showing big gains and we're still in the bull market on the same trend we were at the end of 2019 and none of this COVID-19 was hitting the markets or the gas prices hitting the markets and we were still, you know, in an upward trend, would you still be thinking about opening a spousal Roth and stopping your contributions? If you weren't thinking that before, I wouldn't change that now.
I like that. That was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if that was already something you were planning to do, then maybe, but I still don't think you should stop contributing to your 401k.
Buy the discount, stick with your 401k. And congrats on the Roth, by the way. Good job. Yeah. Social media question number three. I recently lost my job and contacted my mortgage lender about deferring my payments. The mortgage company told me they would suspend my payments for 3 months. But on the fourth month, I would have to pay back a lump sum. Is this correct with the CARES Act? Guess what?
Well, Craig, you read the CARES Act.
Yeah, well, I can tell you one thing. This is a big no that your lender does not know what they're talking about. I know that for a fact. And here's what's going to happen, Amanda. When you're calling these call centers, the people that operate in these call centers, they're going by fixed paragraphs on their screens. You know what I'm talking about?
They're going by prompts, and those prompts probably applied to before the CARES Act was passed, and they haven't updated those prompts. I mean, it's a fluid situation. So let's cut these lenders a little bit of a break. I mean, this literally happened just a few days ago, and they have systems they need to update. So if you don't need it right this second, like, are you unable to make your mortgage payment for April 1st, and that's why you're calling? If not, then I would postpone that call for a week or two so that they can get everything updated.
Yeah. And just so everybody understands, this is like civics 101. When an act is passed, when it's voted on and passed, that now gets dispersed back out to all the agencies, the federal agencies, and then they have to look for their portion and implement that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of this stuff, all the fine details, we know all the general information, like you're getting $1,200, we know all those basic things. All the little finite details of how it's being implemented still have to be worked out by each agency that is forced to do what Congress told them, hey, you need to make this happen. Okay. Right. So this stuff takes 1-2, sometimes up to 3 weeks to get going.
Right. And keep in mind, your lenders, the majority of their people are also stuck working from home and in a different situation right now. So it slows their everything down a little bit. You know, yeah. Everyone's trying to adjust to this new normal. And yeah, it's going to take a minute before what was implemented just a few days ago actually hits their computer screens.
My neighbors work for the federal government, and they always just shake their heads. What are they making us do now? They have to figure it out, what they were told to do. So anyway, what they told you is incorrect. Give them a break. Yeah, like you said, if you don't need to do it for this month, give them a week and then try it again. But that is completely incorrect.
And that advice that I just gave, it applies to almost every situation that's happening right now. Right. So if you are having flights that are canceled, I mean, we're kind of past that initial hump there.
Yeah.
But, you know, like when they first started changing travel restrictions, everyone was calling at once, and then you sit on hold for 8 hours. So I had a trip that was supposed to happen next week, but I didn't call because I wait for everything to kind of just fall into place and let them call me or contact me when they're canceling my flights. And, you know, there's nothing you can do about it right now. If you're not, like, obviously, if your flight was impacted within 24 to 48 hours of when that happened, I'd be the first person on the phone. But if you're not immediately impacted by something, one of these rule changes that are coming out or something like that, I would wait until things get sorted out a little bit better, because there's going to be fewer mistakes.
And I know our listeners would not, when you call CSNS and these customer service agents, I know all of our people are calm and thanking them for their time. These people are working their butts off right now. Mm-hmm. They were thrown into this situation. I could not imagine working at a call center right now. I mean, I have so much empathy. Please be nice to these people. Everyone, they're getting yelled at. And they're just trying to help you, okay? Just give them a break, really.
Yeah, like my son's flight was canceled by another airline. And actually, they didn't even send a notice that it was canceled. I just happened to log in to try and change his flight.
Yeah.
And it wasn't there anymore. So I called. I sat on hold for an hour this morning. And when I got on the line, she was very kind. I was very kind. It ended up working out even more so in my favor. You know, they give you an option. Actually, this airline gave us the option of a refund to our credit card, which I was shocked, or a travel credit to go into our account, plus an extra $50 travel credit. So I took the extra 50 because I'm going to use it at some point. And for me, that's like free money down the road.
Yep.
So, you know, just be patient. And here's what I'll tell you. I bet if I had called a week ago, those options wouldn't have been there. It's because they're learning as they go on what they need to do for people to not freak out.
Yep. All right. Off to the topic. And live, you know that I'm a Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach. And I found this article. Right. I found this really interesting.
Yeah. Okay? So I'm actually really glad that you reminded people that you're a Master Financial Coach, so they don't think we're just constantly plagiarizing Dave Ramsey.
I mean, I feel kind of obligated to be certified under Chris Hogan. I want to remind people, it's not like we just make this stuff up, okay?
Right.
I
mean, and we're not just listening to Dave's show or reading his articles and be like, let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's pretend we're a Dave Ramsey show and just, you know, take phone calls. And I wish we had phone calls. It'd be a lot easier.
Let's get some phone calls. And we need some more voicemails.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But this is really interesting. It's the 10 major money don'ts of Dave Ramsey. And some of these things are just, I didn't even think about that, or don't apply to me. But I think it's really good with what's going on right now. Some of these things may apply to people out there while they're low on income right now, or they don't know what's going to happen the next few months. So let's just go through these, and whatever you want to comment on these, we'll just blow through them. Number one, don't try to tackle your biggest debts first. Now, that's a basic one.
Yeah, so that would be more of a debt avalanche method, right?
Yeah. And we teach and coach, because I'm a coach, is the debt snowball. And Amanda, you've talked about this. Why do we have everybody do the smallest balance first, not go for the biggest?
Yeah, I mean, it's psychological. So small victories are going to lead to big progress here. You know, as you accomplish these wins and get smaller ones paid off, and you're able to then apply that payment each month to your next smallest debt payment, then it's really quite satisfying, and it triggers your endorphins in your brain, and you get excited and stick with it.
And guys, we've had debts before. It's not like we've been born with a silver spoon. I've had debts, and I've done the smallest debt to largest. I remember back when I was younger, I did the largest interest rate first, And that's difficult. It just wasn't fun. But when you do the small balances first, you're like, wow, my list is getting smaller. And you start building that momentum. And I'm telling you from personal experience, it feels great. And then you really get motivated when you get to the big one. But anyway,
I mean, I paid off $93,000 in less than 2 years.
Whoa. You should be doing debt-free scream. Go down to Nashville. Hey,
well, it was many years ago, so I feel like that time has passed.
Yeah. Number two, don't buy with a credit card when you can buy with cash.
Right, right. And this goes back to, we talked about in many episodes ago, was leveraging the envelope system. So, you know, if you don't know how much money you have left in your budget for certain items, all you have to do is look into the envelope and say, is there money left? Then yes or no.
Yep. And you are the queen of the envelope system. You did a whole Savvy Savings on this, I believe.
Yeah, because we originally started using an envelope system 8 years ago. And then, you know, we graduated from it. So we no longer use envelopes. But I still budget every single month, every single pay period. I adjust the budget accordingly, but we still budget.
Awesome. Number three, don't buy new.
Yeah. So I think this applies mostly to cars, but it can apply to all sorts of other items. But this is an important one. If your car has four wheels and runs, it's good enough for Dave Ramsey. So it's absolutely good enough for us.
And we want, go ahead.
Yeah. And then, you know, don't be stealing from your needs to pay for your wants. So
well, that's a good way of putting it.
That is a good one.
It is.
You know, so yeah, you might need transportation, but the fact is, you know, your want might be a much fancier car. So don't steal from your needs, like your four walls that we talked about in the last episode. Don't be stealing from your mortgage payment to then pay for a much higher car payment.
And what I'm seeing in our group now, because we just talked about this on a previous episode, that 0% financing is showing up during the coronavirus. Everyone's sitting home and they are plastering the TVs. They'll even deliver the car to you. I buy it online. They bring it. Chevy and Ford will bring it out to you because they care.
Don't buy new.
40 to 60% of the value of that car disappears in the first 2 years. Please consider buying a 2 year new to you, previously leased vehicle.
Yeah. So last week you told us about your Honda Civic that you drive.
I bought that new, by the way. So
what's that?
I bought that new.
Oh,
but, see, but I told remember you, the, what every the rule episode is.
You give me one reason to remind you you're a hypocrite.
Yeah, no, because remember what the rule is. When you have a $1 million net worth, you can buy new. But I didn't go buy what I wanted. I bought what I felt was practical, but I made it fun by getting a Civic Si.
Plus, you drive them for 10 to 12 years.
Yes, I wear my vehicles down. So $25,000 Civic Si manual, I will drive that sucker in the ground. Even though I know what I really want, I still love this car. I have fun with it. My daughter says I look like a teenager. she's number four, don't spend when you can invest.
Right. So in order to make money in your 401k, you have to actually put money in your 401k.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about last episode how a number of people in their 30s, the older millennials, only have $1,000 in their 401k.
That boggles my mind.
That's pretty crazy. So imagine with the power of compounding, $1,000 isn't going to net you $1 million at any point.
No.
But if you keep contributing $1,000, you know, every month from your paycheck, then not only will you have a much larger balance, but then your compounding will just skyrocket exponentially. Yep.
Number five, don't go to a fancy college.
Yeah. So I actually was listening to Dave Ramsey earlier today from his episode from yesterday.
Okay. And hold on a second. Is this the phone call about the girl that wanted to go to Liberty?
Yes. And you know what? I adored her because one, she had all of her stuff together before she called in. She was like checking every single Dave Ramsey box about how responsible her and her family are and, you know, how they've no consumer debt and they have budgets and they did a Financial Peace University and she's gotten scholarships and, you know, they have 529s. And then the deal breaker, right? She's like, but we can't pay cash for college.
And then he said, rough at, why not?
Why not?
That's all he said.
She said, well, two words. I want to go to Liberty University. And first of all, I was like, that is the one college right now that actually has gone back to school and is ignoring all of these stay-at-home orders. So, yeah, so that doesn't seem like a great and wise plan, regardless of anything else. Right. But, you know, she had her heart set on it, and it's $36,000 a year. So, like, triple what a state school would be.
Right. And he called her out on it, and, yep, and because and said, she wanted a Christian education, and you can still be a Christian at a public university. As Dave Ramsey's daughter was saying, because she was on the show, she also went to a public university, and she went University of Tennessee. And she says she was still able to keep her values by doing that.
Yeah, so she was able to find fellowship there and everything. So the point is, whatever you're looking for in a school, you can find it in a less expensive school.
Yeah.
So he absolutely, and I agree with this, there's no reason to get permission to go into debt to go into school. You're doing Dave-ish then, not Dave Ramsey.
Number six, don't splurge when you finally graduate.
Yeah, so I actually have a Dave Ramsey quote here from the article. He says, I tell young people who call our radio show that you're already used to living like a broke college kid, so keep living like one until you start making grown-up money. Mm-hmm. He said that to CNBC in 2008. So you don't have to resort to eating, you know, ramen noodles and drinking instant coffee. It's more about the mentality of still making every penny count. And if you continue to live like you're a college student, but you are bringing in a salary and an income now, then that money can be used for getting you through your baby steps. And if you went through school paying cash, like Dave recommends, then, you know, you can apply that money immediately to building up your emergency fund and your retirement fund.
One thing that we do is Master Financial Coaches, and they kind of brought this up. And when we listen to the Dave Ramsey show, we hear the question and you try and answer it before Dave does.
Yeah.
So that's my practice, what I do. On this situation, a lot of people will call, younger people will call, and they have student loan debt of $50,000 to $100,000 or even more.
Right.
And the advice that he does tell them right off the bat, and I come up with as well, is look, you were used to living like a college student, like you said in the quote.
Right.
Continue doing that and throw all that money at that debt and get rid of it, no matter what the occupation is. And it is a great way of doing it. And before you get settled, you have babies and all that. I did that with my daughter. I say, look, before you have kids, I want you to get your master's degree for education, because she gets an automatic $10,000 a year raise in the public school system just by getting a master's. So she went to, can't remember what child line school, but it cost her $12,000. I'm like, that's a no-brainer. That's an automatic return in the first year.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, so I you, I listen to Dave Ramsey on a semi-regular basis. Sometimes while I'm out running, I listen to Chris Hogan. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the important thing is that what you are thinking about and what you're feeding yourself, that's going to feed your actions, and your thoughts turn into actions as well. So, you know, Craig and I spend a lot of time reading articles, listening to podcasts about finances. And that's not just because we're preparing for this show, but because that's what's feeding the way we live.
Yep. And we really do love this whole topic, and we love helping people. I love it. I mean, I feed off of the messages of people saying they're excited and they're actually making it. It's an adrenaline rush for me. I love it. Number seven, don't try to justify frivolous purchases.
Yeah. So here's another. I love this quote from Dave. But I work hard all day. I deserve it. Oh, call the wambulance. We all work. Yeah. I love when he says call the wambulance.
Yeah, the wambulance.
Yeah, no, everybody works. Overspending is what's keeping Americans in debt, especially, you know, the attitude that you deserve what you want. So basically all these little wants, like justifying, oh, but I deserve this new pair of Louis Vuitton purse or boots or whatever. And you're like, this is nickel and diming your future away. You know, debt's not the problem. It's the symptom. So debt is the result of disorganized, immature buying things that, you know, you don't need stuff to impress people that you don't like.
You know, I go to the Washington Auto Show every year. I just enjoy looking at all the cars down in DC. And when you get to the luxury section, they routinely on the BMWs, the Mercedes, Lexus, inevitably will be that sign. You deserve this. You earn this, and that kind of thing. And people see that and they start living that way. Then they wonder why they're so far in debt.
Well, and think those are the messages that are feeding your mind and your actions, like I was just talking about. So if that's the type of messaging you're allowing in versus listening to other things like this podcast or others, obviously we only release one or two episodes a week, so you can fill the rest of your week with everything else. You're not cheating on us.
Yeah. Now, here's one that's going to cause some discussion. Number eight, don't give your kids an allowance.
Right.
All the moms out there are like, what?
Yeah. Did you give your kids an allowance?
No.
No, I didn't either.
You know what? I didn't even pay them when I gave them chores to do.
Yep, me neither.
I didn't do any of that. I just said, hey, I need you to do this. And they had to go do it. There was no payment system. I never did anything like that. No.
I mean, I think parents are setting their kids up for failure by giving them an allowance. Mm-hmm. So Dave says, I just don't like the word. Allowance kind of sounds like you're not good enough, so I have to do something for you. Think about that.
That sounds like welfare in a way.
Yeah, it does. And instead, we're calling it basically a commission. So you get paid for doing chores. So maybe it's okay to get used to working for money. And if you don't work, then you don't get paid. And obviously, the work should be age appropriate. You're not sending your four-year-old to the salt mines or anything. But I'm not opposed to paying a small token amount in exchange for extraordinary work. Mm-hmm. I don't think that regular chores should have compensation because that's just the wrong message. You know, if you're in a family, everyone contributes to the family. Now, if you're doing something above and beyond the normal chores, then maybe I could see kicking something in. And I've done that before with our kids.
How do you feel about paying for grades? Because a lot of people do that. I've heard people do that.
I don't like that.
I didn't do any of that. No, you got to earn it. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Number nine, don't try to get rich too quickly. I live by this one, and I get on people in our group about this. They want to get rich quick. They want quick money. And I know there's ways to get quick money. People get sucked into day trading, but 70% of people lose all their money day trading. What did we say in the last episode about cryptocurrency?
that one tax preparer said
100% of his people that he does taxes for had 100% losses. 100% of the people, no one had gains.
Yeah.
People do that because they see the people online that do Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that. They're driving Lamborghinis and crap. They think they're going to be able to, you know, it's that sort of thing, this quick money thing, or investing in pot stocks. We went through a phase in our own Facebook group. People would argue with me because they said, oh, no, I'm going to make a bunch of money in pot stocks. I kept telling them, no, don't do it. Well, where are those stocks now?
Huh? Or Tesla a month or two ago. Yeah.
You know how many families mortgaged their houses to buy Tesla stock when it was $700 and $800? Where is it at now?
It's around $450, I think.
You know, guys, don't go after it. I'm telling you, the slow and steady is what wins the game.
Yeah, I mean, think about how many times we see young athletes get money and then it destroys their life.
Oh.
Or people who win the lotteries. There's a whole show about how, you know, the lottery ruined people's lives. So, if you're not mentally prepared for the money, getting it all in a windfall is not going to change how you behave.
It does go back to that earlier step where don't go spending money once you graduate, because people finally get a real paycheck. I mean, thousands of dollars. They're like, holy crap. And they go berserk with it. Yeah. Now, that's not the time to go berserk. You need to create your foundation. But you're right. There's so many shows of how many times people just blow their money and they. I'm not saying you can't get quick money, but it's not the way to build wealth.
Right.
Most people, what's the millionaire next door? Most people built their money slowly over time. And compounding is the biggest tool you have. It is. To me, Amanda, we've talked about before, when I look at what I actually deposited into my 457 and where I am in seven figures now, that small amount I put in there, I still can't figure out how it got. I mean, I know it's compounding, but it boggles my mind that amount turned into that.
Right.
It's just crazy. So number 10, I love this. As a guy, I love this one. Mm-hmm. Don't buy an engagement ring from a jewelry store.
Yeah. So diamonds are like furniture. They've got a huge market. So where you buy it can be very, very important. If you go to a diamond broker or someone who knows a little bit about diamonds, even a high-end pawn shop, for example, then you can get diamonds and rings for a quarter on the dollar. And they're really good stones. So don't knock that as an option. You know, these diamond stores that you see in the mall, they are controlling the prices and the inventory, so they comply, they control the supply of diamonds. There's a huge supply sitting there. They just sit on it so that they can control how much is available and act like there's a very limited supply, and then it drives the prices up. But
Amanda, he went to Jared.
Well, he can find a used Jared box on eBay, I'm sure, and stick the pawn ring in there.
But he went to Jared. All right. On that note,
let's take a break.
Savvy Savings is coming up next. And what are you covering today?
We're talking about retooling your budget during COVID-19.
I love your budgeting segments. Those are, I think a lot of people really look forward to those more than anything. They love the budget stuff. All right.
The B word.
The B word. I like, boy, you're on fire. All right, when we come back, Savvy Savings with our queen, Amanda, right here at Rock on the Money. Don't forget, you can win a gift card, as we say every episode. Call 989-888-ROCK, 989-888-7625. Just record for your financial question for us to answer on the show. If we use it, you're in the running for a drawing for a gift card at the end of the month. And we're in the month of April 2020, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. This thing will be out there for ages. Smithsonian will eventually put it into the archives.
Yeah, right.
What do you got for Savvy Savings here, Amanda? It's all yours.
Yeah, well, it's not all mine, actually. I'm going to ask for your help today. But today we're going to be talking about retooling your budget during COVID-19. So, Craig, you could help me out with some of the high bullet points, I can help fill in the gray.
All right, let's go through this. Number one, rebalance your budget.
Yeah. So a cut in pay should match a cut in your spending somewhere. When we talked about budgeting a few episodes ago on our budgeting series, you know, a budget is really easy. It's just about balancing how much income you have coming in versus how much money you're spending going out. And those numbers should balance. So if you have a cut in your pay now, then you need to match that with a cut in spending somewhere else. You also can consider, what are some new income sources right now? Are you getting any unemployment income? And then also consider supplementing any shortfall with side gigs or other income generating ideas first. And as a last resort, dip into your emergency fund. This would qualify as an emergency. But you know, the key component here is rebalance. So can you cut spending, and will it be enough to match your lower income? If not, then you have to look at how are you going to make up that shortfall.
I have so much empathy for people going through this right now. It's there's a lot of stress going on out there. I know we have a lot of fun on the show, but we're trying to portray positivity, and it's, we're going to get through this. I know we are. I see a light at the end of the tunnel already. Hey, number two, put your bills on hold if you can.
Yeah. So if you can't pay your bills or could really use a short-term relief, then call anyone you owe money to and ask them what type of help is available. Mm-hmm. You know, as the coronavirus financial crisis worsens, homeowners are getting a break from mortgage payments. Some states and communities are protecting renters from being evicted. And even the student loan industry, Americans with student loans can stop payments for 2 months interest-free at this point.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And then think about, do you owe taxes? Maybe you have filed your taxes already, but you didn't send in your payment because you ordinarily wouldn't have to until April 15th. Or you haven't filed, but you expect that you will owe taxes this year. Keep in mind that the deadline to pay has been pushed to July 15th. Mm. The one word of caution I have there, though, is that if you are someone who normally makes quarterly estimated payments, the second quarter estimated payment is still due June 15th. So quarter two is due before quarter one.
Ooh.
That's tricky. Yeah. Also, the federal government has given states the authority to expand their unemployment benefits program and offer new options in response to COVID-19. So for the most updated information and to easily find your state's unemployment benefits, you can visit, it's a website called careeronestop.com.
Awesome. And we talked about this in the last episode. Take care of your four walls.
Right. So this is the housing, food, utilities, and transportation in no particular order.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with housing just because it's top of my list, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's number one. Start with what's, and I'm only starting with it because it's likely your biggest expense. If you're a homeowner, there might be options in the federal stimulus package, including relief for those with federally backed mortgage loans. So again, if you don't have a federally backed one, which is actually a very small percentage, then your options might be different or limited. If you have an outstanding mortgage and you're concerned about falling behind on payments, make sure you're reaching out to your lender right away so they can walk you through your options of either reducing or suspending your mortgage payments temporarily. Now, this doesn't mean they go away. It just is some help to get you through this time period.
Mm-hmm.
Something else to consider is refinancing your home. So mortgage rates are at or nearing historic lows. So you may have an opportunity to refinance your mortgage at a lower rate. And if that results in a lower payment, that could save you money on your housing costs. Keep in mind, though, that refinancing requires you to pay closing costs unless you're looking at a no closing cost refinance, which there are some of those available, but for the most part, there's still going to be costs involved. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before about if you're going to refinance, it should be either a 15-year fixed loan or however many months you have left on your current mortgage. So if you have only 6 years left on your current mortgage, you should only be looking at a 6-year refinance loan. And we mentioned this in the last episode, but I would think carefully about tapping into your home equity. So low rates can be attractive for a home equity loan or home equity line of credit, which are called HELOCs. There's a reason that both of these start with H-E-L. I think it's just missing another L because it's putting you in a very tight situation. If the slowdown in economic activity spurred by this virus leads to economy and a recession, your home's value could take a dip and then you might find yourself upside down in your home. The other topic in the four walls I'm just going to touch on here is food. So if you're unable to purchase food or basic essential needs for your household, you might be eligible for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly known as SNAP.
That's cool.
Yep. So just locate your local office by visiting the directory that's online, or you can contact the SNAP hotline at 1-800-221-5689. If you don't qualify for SNAP. Hopefully you get snacks.
Yes.
But if you don't qualify for SNAP, there are still resources available. You can locate a local food bank or pantry by visiting Feeding America or foodpantries.org. And if you're not in this situation, I would encourage you to donate to either of those organizations to help others.
And here's something I'm very passionate about. Don't panic sell your stocks or mutual funds.
Right. Yeah. Patience is going to pay off. So will stocks keep going down? Maybe, but they're also likely to go up when this is all done. So, I mean, since World War II, we've had 12 bear markets. The average loss was around 35%. And so I think we got close to that here in the last couple of weeks, right, Greg?
Oh, yeah. No, we were in the 30% range. I can vouch for that personally.
Yeah. And those stocks fell for an average of a bit more than a year during each of those. So hopefully we're not in a 1 year period. I don't think we're going to be. Mm-hmm. They typically had made back those losses in another 2 years and then rallied to new highs. So
and here's a stat for you. 90% of the time we've had a huge run up following a bear market. 90%.
And it can happen quickly, too. So you don't want to be caught on the outside.
Yeah. Here we go. Do keep investing more money if you can afford it.
Yep. Same principle is there. You're buying things on sale and you want to make sure you have as much money in there as possible before this starts shooting back up.
And here's one that a lot of people are probably finding out. Don't keep too little in your emergency fund.
Yeah. So most experts say you should have enough saved to cover 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. And that's what we've been saying all along. And you want to make sure you keep that in a high yield savings account. I saw someone had asked on our Facebook page, what is a high yield savings account or where is it? Because her bank savings account is offering piddly returns. Yeah, we've talked before. I use Marcus by Goldman Sachs. I looked today, they were at 1.7% interest rate, which is pretty good in this low interest rate environment.
I'm surprised they're keeping it up.
Yeah, yeah. Ally is another one. So what you want to look for is an online but accredited banking option, one that has the insurance by FDIC. So your deposits are insured. But generally, they have much lower operating costs. So they're able to offer a higher yield on those. Susie Orman says the coronavirus crash calls for a new standard. And she's actually suggesting a 3-year emergency fund. The average American who's struggling to even make contributions to their 401k or still has debt to pay off, I think that that's a pretty substantial goal.
Considering 7 out of 10 have lived paycheck to paycheck, I don't know how we're going to get people. We can't even get people to save $1,000. How are they going to come up with 3 years?
But I mean, if you were sitting on 3 years worth of emergency fund, you probably wouldn't be stressing at all right now. So maybe there's something there. I think there's probably a number in between 6 months and 3 years that works.
I got to go read about this. I'm trying to figure out what her basis is for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you can do that, you're probably wealthy already.
Yeah, you probably don't really need the emergency.
Yeah, I gotta read that. Anyway, here we go. Don't confuse the word want with need.
Yeah, I mean, they're both four-letter words, Craig.
Yes, it is a four-letter word.
So this is the time to eliminate or reduce your nice-to-haves, like dining out, entertainment, extracurriculars, you know, your kids' extracurriculars. Think about, are there memberships to gyms or dance or massage places that are on a monthly subscription that you could either cancel or call them and put them on a temporary hold so you're saving that money right now. Are there services that you ordinarily would pay someone else to do? Like some people pay someone to cut their grass or take care of their pool or clean their house once a week or a month. Since you're home doing not much of anything else besides watching Tiger King,
apparently,
maybe it's time to, you know, bring those activities in-house and save that money.
Don't assume the job market will snap back to normal.
Yeah. So some of your jobs may not be coming back. And I think that's the brutal reality here. So we may be looking at a total revamping of how businesses work after this. I think a lot of companies are learning that their companies operate just fine on a work from home environment or tele-networking. So I personally believe a lot of companies are going to be looking into their real estate costs and reconsidering whether or not they need such large offices. And I bet we see a lot more shared office spaces where you just come in maybe 1 or 2 days a week and share a desk with someone and alternate the days that you're there, or there's going to be a lot more flexibility with work from home, which I think is a good thing, especially for military spouses who have trouble maintaining employment when they have to up and move every couple of years. So I think this can be a really good thing for continuity of employment to go along with moves and other experiences. So, I mean, there's going to be some downsides. Some jobs just may not come back at all.
I'll tell you.
Or it might take much longer, too, than we expect.
While I was doing public safety, I also did a lot of IT. For years, I've been trying, I swear, since probably 2011, I've been trying to get people to use the cloud. and tried to show them. And I mean, I would push it. Your husband probably goes through the same thing. You try and tell people how much easier it would be if everyone collaborates online. And I could never sell this thing for ages. This one event forced people to use the cloud and to collaborate. Finally, everyone's realizing, oh, this is great. It took a virus to make us understand how we can actually be more productive. And I truly believe what you just said. I think we're going to see a downscaling of office space and more use of the cloud and all these products that these companies were forced to purchase. And now they're going to use it. So I love
it. Yeah, I mean, and even in environments where information has to remain super secure, there are options out there, commercial options that companies have been slow to roll out or, you know, it wasn't in their budget. Well, I bet, guess what? Those companies found that budget for it right now.
Yes, they did.
And these, they had to find it. Yeah.
And these cloud services, both by Amazon and Microsoft, the Azure cloud, have different levels of security that you can pay for, all the way up to the Pentagon level. So,
exactly. And guess what? These IT projects suddenly happened very quickly.
Yes, they did. Boy, yep.
And projects and by that the way, normally take 18 months happened in days.
And yes, my retirement account is showing that people are paying for it because my XLK is doing very well. Thank you very much.
So again, I mean, don't assume that your job is going to come back exactly the way it did, if it comes back at all, or if it comes back in the time period you expect. So I would be revamping your resume. See if you can pick up side gigs or even freelance work that that may lead to something more down the road.
And don't waste time looking for something else on LinkedIn or something like that, because you may find your new favorite job. This could be something that changes your life for the better. Look at the positive. The last one, don't miss out on your chance to convert your IRA.
Yes. Yes. This one's exciting. So many of you have been wanting to convert from a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. If that's the case, when the markets are down significantly like this, this is the time. Mm-hmm. So when the market's down and stocks have gone down like 50%, then maybe rather than having 20 grand, you might have $10,000 now. So when you convert it, you would only owe taxes on $10,000 versus $20,000. So I actually did this last week. I converted my traditional 401k as much as they would allow, because apparently my company doesn't allow in-plan conversions. I didn't realize that was a company option, but it is. So I was able, though, to convert the amount I had rolled in from another plan, so I could still convert that money into a Roth IRA. And I paid, a lot less taxes because I did it now versus when everything was high.
Especially if you've had company match money out there that's still sitting. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize company match is always going to be traditional money, even though you're doing Roth. Right now, if you have a bucket of traditional company match, now's the time to convert it over to Roth before it regains. You still have the shares. You didn't.
Yeah, they didn't change the shares at all.
You're still going to, the money's still going to come back, but now it's going to be tax free. So right now it's a discount on your taxes as well. Great point.
So this is definitely something to call your service provider with about, because again, not every company allows that in-plan conversion, Craig. Yeah. So like I'm not able to roll my company match over to a Roth. It has to stay in the traditional. But give your company, like I was on the phone with Fidelity and they're very helpful. And when I say you pay a smaller tax bill, it's not literally that you're paying tax. So they're not going to be able to withhold the tax for you. You are going to be responsible for holding on to that money that you would owe and making, like, because I'm already on an estimated payment schedule, I just wrote a check to the IRS today.
Oh, there you go. Awesome. Yeah.
So you have to pay the taxes yourself. Your service provider's not going to pay them for you.
Yeah, they stay out of it, so...
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yes, that's it.
That was a great list. Thank you very much, Amanda.
Thanks, Craig.
And as always, a quick reminder, check out our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have show notes. All the podcasts are located right there. The website turns into a player. You can play it right on your phone. Plus, there's links there so you can subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platforms, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and TuneIn. And if you could leave us a review and some star ratings on those platforms, it really, really helps us out a lot. Check out our Facebook group community with over 3,000 people in there. facebook.com/groups/your401k. And also check out our Facebook page at Rock on the Money. So long, everybody. We really, really do have a lot of gratitude for you listening, sharing, and spreading the word. You guys are great. Amanda and I cannot emphasize how much we appreciate you guys. So long, and we'll see you again next week. Until next time, America. America's Rockland, USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.